Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where you'll be entertained, educated, and motivated by top experts in a variety of fields, including sport, business, and fitness. Your host, Chris Thomas, is a speaker, certified mind performance consultant, personal trainer, sports and remedial massage therapist, and author of 6 Days to a Champion's Mindset. He wants to help you win. To learn about Chris, log on to u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk. Who's your special guest this week, Chris?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sports Performance Radio Show edition, where we discuss the kind of mindset that is needed to get the outcomes you desire, and I'm your host, Chris Thomas. Today we talk about overcoming adversities. Our special guest today is Zara Hone, who is a GB hurdler. Zara is an outstanding hurdler who had a wonderful 2009 season. She achieved a UK under 23 ranking of a number one in the 100 meter hurdles, recording a time of 13.37 seconds. At the Aviva 2009 World Trials, Zara finished in third position with a time of 13.34 seconds and also gained first place in the Amateur Athletics Association Championships. Zara says that she feels lucky that she is able to be in the running for the 2012 Olympics. This is my dream, she says, and I aim to fulfill it. Well, we truly hope that she does. Zara, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
How has your day been so far?
Oh, it's been all right. It's been quite quiet. It's a nice sunny morning in LA, so I'm happy.
That's right. So you're in, you're calling live from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And you've been there doing your warm weather training, is that right?
Yeah, we've been training really, really hard for the last 5 weeks.
Wow, okay. And how's it going?
It's going really well. The weather's been great, so we've been been able to get some really good speed work in. But overall training's going really, really well. So I'm
fantastic.
Happy with it. Yeah.
Fantastic. And when do you get back to the UK?
We actually arrive on the 1st of May. So we've got 8 days left.
Enjoy it.
I will do.
It's raining in London, so.
Oh, wow, I'm not looking forward to that one.
That will be your welcome back.
Yeah, the rain. Hopefully I bring the sun with me.
Oh, we hope so. So today we're going to be talking about overcoming adversities. And I know we've talked before about some of the challenges that you had in the past to achieve your goals in athletics. Now, before we get into that, can you just give us a bit of background about how you got into athletics, what age you were, you know, and what made you get into athletics?
Yeah, well, I started athletics when I was really quite young. My mum decided to take me to the Don Valley, it was Linford Lions at the time it was called, athletics club. It was just like a hobby, really. Something you did for fun after school.
Mm-hmm.
I was around the age of, I believe, 11 when I started just doing little hobbies. I just did all the events, really, and it was just like a fun time. But it actually turned serious because I actually really enjoyed athletics, and then I started to compete just in the young athletics leagues, and then from there it escalated onwards where I decided that I wanted to do hurdles.
Okay. Brilliant. So, was athletics the first thing you kind of chose? I mean, were you a sporty person before then?
No, I was quite sporty, actually. I used to do karate when I was younger.
Okay.
Well, I was really young. I think I must have been about 7 or 8.
Right.
And then I did gymnastics for a while, which I used to be in the Yorkshire squad for athletic, for gymnastics. So, it was quite fun. I used to be really good at the vault.
You used to what, sorry?
Be good at the vault.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something you might take up after you finish in athletics and the vault?
No, I think I've lost my flexibility now. I'm a bit stiff.
You can't be stiff with your hurt.
Yeah, I just about manage the hurdles. Just managed to get over them.
Okay. Well, thanks for giving us that little background. And just to say to anyone who's listening in, if you feel that you would like to join in and perhaps send us a question or dial in to speak to either myself or Zara, feel free to do so. You can press 1 on your dial, and you'll be come through to an automated voice, and then I'll see you on my screen. Okay, so like I said, this show is particularly about overcoming adversities, and
yeah.
I know that you have a really, really inspiring story and tell. So, we really want to get into that. So, first of all, what happened to you at a young age which prevented you from continuing in your athletics?
Well, basically, when I was 14 years old, I had an illness. It was to do with my blood, which at first we didn't realize I was actually ill. I thought I had a fever or something, and I was just in bed, where I was having like temperatures, not feeling well, having dizzy spells. So I just took time off school, thinking I'll be all right in a few weeks. But it turned out after I fainted in front of my parents, they got a bit worried and called the doctor. And then the doctor actually rushed me to hospital. And then from there, they were doing so many examinations on me to find out what's actually causing this illness. And it turned out that there was actually something wrong with my blood. So they said that I needed to have an operation, which was actually supposed to be a minor operation, which then turned very, very serious. As I started to bleed to death in my operation.
Very serious.
Yeah, very serious. They actually told my mum and dad that I wouldn't make it for the operation, and that they needed obviously to prepare for me to die. Luckily, though, an emergency blood transfusion that they had brought in actually more or less saved my life, because the human body was supposed to have 14 units of blood, and I had 4 at the time, so...
Whoa.
I had no units to literally survive off. And so when they did the emergency blood transfusion, they were still unsure if I was going to survive or not. They wasn't 100% sure it was going to work. So it was like down to me now to see if I was strong enough to actually wake up from operation, which I did. I fired the way, and I woke up, but I was really, really weak to the stage where... I couldn't walk, I couldn't hardly talk, I couldn't do anything. I was really weak. I was in hospital for about 2 months, I think.
Okay.
And during that time, I was just literally just trying to get strong in terms of like just being able to stand up from like get out of my bed, being able to feed myself, just being able just to do the everyday things that somebody can do straight away when they wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
So, but all along, because at the time, before my operation and my illness, I was doing athletics, I was at a great deal of, like, I wasn't at the top stage of athletics, but at the time I really, really enjoyed being an athlete.
Yeah.
So, whilst being ill, I wasn't able to train and do any type of activity whatsoever, but in my head, I knew I still wanted to be an athlete, and I knew to myself that that's what I'm going to do still. But when I actually came out of hospital 2 months later, I was still like kind of hobbling along, walking. I wasn't like the strongest person around, but I told my dad that I still want to do athletics, so he took me down with my mom to the track. Back to my old coaches I used to be with before.
Okay.
They turned around and told me that obviously she's far too weak. She's not going to be able to be an athlete. It's going to take her too long to get back. It's best if she just decides to go and do something else now. And which kind of, I was devastated basically, because I knew I wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that I could do it, but obviously being given the chance, it's quite hard when a lot of people are saying that. So my dad decided to coach me instead.
Well, that's a lot to take in. So we just want to break this down. So you were in hospital, you were unconscious.
Yeah.
Your parents were obviously told that, you know, that this, you know, that things were looking very glum and unlikely that you would pull through.
Yeah.
Just talk us through what was perhaps going through their mind, and because if I know that in hospitals, we're told that most parents would obviously want to do as much as they can for their child.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
So that must have been a real difficult time for your parents to
definitely.
You know, so a lot goes towards your parents, a lot of respect goes towards your parents in that kind of situation.
Definitely.
When you came out of hospital, I mean, you say that you wanted to continue athletics, but was that all that was on your mind? I mean, when you were at home recuperating and trying to get your strength back and whatever, was that in the back of your mind, or was that at the forefront of your mind?
No, because at the time I really was enjoying the athletics I was doing before I became ill, so it was still it was in my mind constantly. Obviously, as well as having to get back with my schoolwork and everything, knowing that I was far behind and I had my GCSEs coming up soon, and I knew that I've missed so much from school and I didn't see my friends in a while and things.
Mm.
But at the same time, it was a really mixed emotion time for me, because although I had to focus on schoolwork and everything, at the same time I still really wanted to do athletics. So I had a lot going on my mind at the time, I suppose, but I knew athletics was one of the main things that I wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a strong determination right there, isn't it? I mean, when you're in pain and you can't perhaps do things as you would like to do, the first thing you think about is just trying to. First of all, there's a bit of anguish in there because you don't know how long it's going to take before you get to your best. So how long did it take before you could actually move around freely and be yourself?
It took me, all in all, to be fully fit and back to my normal self, where I was back to school regular, being able to take parts in activities, being able to do my PE lessons and actually fully fit in more. I won't say fully fit, but able to train.
Mm-hmm.
Took me, say, about 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And in that time, was there ever a point when you thought, you know what, I just give up, I should just give up?
Yeah.
There was. Can you just talk us through that? What were you feeling, what were you thinking, what was going through your mind at that time?
It's just disappointing. Basically, although you're so determined, and it's very frustrating when you're not actually doing something to a level you know you can really do.
Mm.
You find it very frustrating with yourself, and you actually get angry with yourself, and you tend to beat yourself up a lot. And there's one particular time I can remember when I actually qualified for the 3As when I was younger. It was the under 15s. At the time, I was doing the 100-meter race, and I can remember I wasn't 100% fit, but I knew that I was good enough to race. But because my body was still kind of weak and I'm pushing it to the extreme levels it can go to, I ended up tearing my hamstrings. And I can remember at that stage I was thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do to actually get to the level I need to be at? Because I've just come back from illness. I've tried, I've done great to get there, because you have to qualify to get to the England Championships.
Cool.
Then I actually injured myself, which obviously took me out for another few months. So I can just remember being so devastated, thinking, well, maybe people are right. Maybe I'm not good enough to be an athlete. Maybe I'm not going to be strong enough, and I'll always have injuries or something.
Mm.
That's one particular time I can remember what stands out whilst I was young. It was a really frustrating time for me.
So you say there were individuals that were telling you the opposite of what you wanted to do. So, you know, you were thinking, yeah, I really want to do this, and this is what my goal is, and I know I can achieve it. But there are others who perhaps didn't have your vision.
Yeah.
Did you respond to any of these as the time was going by? You know, how did that make you feel when people were telling you that?
It made me feel rubbish. It did make me question myself whether I am good enough or not. It did, but at the same time, I've got really strong parents, and I'd have to say without them, I don't think I'd even be at the stage I'm at now, although they've took me through a lot when I was younger. But it's never stopped. Like, they've always been very supportive. So due to having strong parents, it's actually helped me a lot more than, and made things a lot more easier than what it would have been. So whilst I'm there being negative, which is the proper word, because I get being fed negative news, it just gave me negative thoughts. But all the time, I'm like, stay positive with me.
Yeah.
Obviously, they truly believe that I can do something and be somebody. So, in a way, it's really good.
Yeah, well, it's a natural thing, isn't it? We're human beings. There's limits to what we can think and believe. And at times, sometimes external factors, people, or whatever else, can have an effect on our determination. It can make us question ourselves in what we're doing. But I really love the way that you dealt with that, in that you relied on another external source, your parents.
Yeah.
And it must have been, and I'm sure that there must have been an internal resource inside you that you dug down into.
Yeah, it has to be, because at the end of the day, like, for me, and like for everybody in life has got somebody they can actually trust. And it might not be the parents, it might be a guardian or somebody who's close to them who they know they can trust. For me, it's my parents, my mom and dad. And I know within myself, deep down, my parents will not encourage me or support me to do something they know deep down I can't do. So it was for me to put my trust in what they're saying and actually work off their words.
Yeah.
Because I know what they're saying is going to be beneficial to me, and I know that they're not just doing it for doing sake or just saying things just to make me happy or anything. Because I believe that if I was honestly too weak to do something or unable to do anything, they would be the first to say, well, maybe you should do something else. And support me in something else instead of encouraging me to do something that they really think I can't. So I believe that if you do trust somebody and you've got somebody in life that you can actually trust and you know that they are 110% for you, I think that's the person you need to kind of listen to and not push them away.
Yeah.
Just like, sometimes you can say it's a risk, but at the same time, it's being, like, able to trust the positive feedback instead of always looking for the negative feedbacks.
Right, exactly, yeah. And like you say, if you have that person in your life that they'll lay it on the line for you. Sometimes you might not like what you hear, and other times you're going to love what they say because it's in line with your vision and what you want to do.
Exactly.
But it's like you say, it is really good to have someone or people like that in your life. So if you can just think back, at what point did you decide that you needed to turn things around when things weren't so great? At what point? Can you remember a point in your mind where you said, right, that's it, I'm not listening to these other people, I'm listening to my parents and myself about what I want to do? What stage was that?
Just a stage where my mum and dad actually were sat down talking, and they just turned around and said that, so Zara, you're a talented person in athletics, and if it's something you really want to do, we will help you, we will support you in every way needed to get to where you want to get to. To get to the very best you can possibly be. And then I realized it's not really about everybody else. It's actually about me this time. Sometimes in life you've got to be quite selfish in the terms of you can't do things just to please others. You have to do things to please yourself, which is
sure.
getting somewhere in life. Because at that time I was thinking, well, maybe everyone's right, and then I would actually back down just to please other people, which really I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have just kept fighting all the way through and doing what other people, because I do have a lot of people that support me, and I have a lot of people that actually generally believe that I can do well. And sometimes it's hard to see when things aren't going too right, but when you actually stop and think about how people actually generally support you and they see you totally different to how you see yourself. So that made me realise, well, I can't see my, obviously my parents supporting me and other people I have around me supporting me if it's something that isn't possible.
Okay.
That's when I thought, I'm just going to fight.
Right. Okay, so you decide to fight and overcome your situation. So tell us about the road that you started when you got back into training, and how, you know, was that an easy road? You know, what happened?
No, it wasn't an easy road. It was a hard road, because you have to kind of make big sacrifices in terms of, obviously I'm still at a young age, I'm a teenage age, where all my friends are going out and always doing fun things, whereas I really had to stop all that, basically. Don't get me wrong, I saw my friends, but I couldn't be around them all the time, like they could be around out and things.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I'm at home resting, eating well, training really hard whilst still studying. So it was quite, at first, daunting and very, very tiring. But you do obviously learn to adapt to them ways. But it's, I think it's the sacrifices you have to make in terms of not being able to do things that you really deep down you want to do. And sometimes it can get you down and you feel left out and alone and bored.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to think, well, why are you doing this? Because really and truly, if I was to do everything that I shouldn't be doing, then obviously I'm not going to reach the goals that I really want in the end.
Right.
So it is very, very, very hard. But at the same time, you have to be very disciplined and know why you're doing things and understand the reason why you're doing it. So I think that part was difficult. And then surrounding yourself around the right people. Because you can surround yourself around the wrong people. When I say wrong, not so much they are wrong people, just in the terms of sometimes you can be around people that can influence you to do things that you really shouldn't be doing. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're the wrong people, but it just means that they're not the right people for you, that they're not purposely, but not helping you basically to focus on what you need to focus on.
Right.
Which I think is a strong thing for a lot of young people this day and age as well.
So, your dad became your coach, right?
Yeah.
What kind of background did he have in athletics? And did he have a background in athletics? What did he have to do to coach you?
My dad studied so hard in athletics because he actually came from a martial arts background.
Okay.
Where, when he was younger, he actually did a martial art. I can't remember the name. I think it was I can't remember exactly the name, but he actually did that he was selected for Great Britain when he was younger to do that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so he was actually very knowledgeable in the way of about training and being, and like the inner strengths of training and being disciplined. And so he had the knowledge there, but in terms of athletics, he had to really study hard, where my dad would be up all night and all day he'd study the art of athletics, basically, and how to create a good hurdler. He would nibble at everybody's minds and try and get ideas from all different types of coaches. Some coaches wanted to help, some coaches didn't want to help, but it didn't stop him from picking at everybody's mind. he went deep. I mean, really, really deep. And now he's become a good coach. And I think it was generally good anyway, because he had the background of what you need to do. But obviously, he needed to study the art of athletics, which he did. And up to now, he's still buying books and reading them and still talking to every coach he sees and emailing people to find out how he can still help improve athletes. Because he coaches other people now as well.
Well, it must have been perhaps a little bit daunting for him as well, because he knew where you wanted to go. He can see your vision, where you want to be in your goal for the future. And so really, you were in his hands.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to be putting in the hard work as well. But like you say, that's probably the reason why he studied so hard, so that he could give you the best opportunity in your athletics. And of course, it must have taken obviously effort on yourself. So how was that relationship between you both working out? How did that work out? What did you have to do to push yourself forward?
I just had to put my trust in him and just know that whatever he tells me to do is for my best. And basically, my mum put so much work into me, and their dedication, their time, their life, everything, every little bit of free space, spare time they had, they put into me. So all I knew I had to do is just take on board what they're telling me, make sure that I do everything they tell me in terms of what's going to help, and just listen carefully, because I've got to remember they have life too. I know every parent puts their life into their child, but they just put in even more time into me. Every little bit of time they had, every little bit of money was put into me. So with respect and gratitude and the gratefulness I had, I just made sure I input everything they taught me and told me to make sure I can achieve the best I can possibly do. So I just had I just put my 100% trust in them, really, and just hoped for the best.
Oh, we're told in sports, especially in sports, that imagery is really important and should be implemented into your training. So tell me what kind of imagery you had as you were started training again and starting seeing the results. What was the imagery that you had in your mind?
Of my future or just of right there?
Of your future.
My future. Well, I always imaged myself to be, and I still do now, is to actually be one of the world's best. So when I was doing well, and you get that feeling of winning races, you get that feeling of being successful in what you've done, knowing that you've trained so hard and actually feeling your hard work paying off in some ways, it tends to make your imaginations, your dreams go a bit more clearer, because you always have that dream of what you want to be and you can imagine yourself doing that. But when you actually feel the success, you feel like you're getting more, a step closer and closer and closer to your overall dream. For me, it felt like I'm just in arm reach and I could actually see my dream a lot more clearer than what I could before. Whereas I could see it, but at the same time, I used to be questioning it. Whereas now I can see it and I know I can do it. And I just imagine myself just being like one of the world's best, basically. I know it does take a lot of hard work, but at the same time, I can see it's not something difficult, if that's what you really want.
That's brilliant. Zara, we're just going to take a small break just for now. We'll be back in 1 minute, folks. So just hold on there. We'll be taking just a short break, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
Discover today how you too can become a qualified mind performance consultant. We run courses regularly throughout the whole year. Visit www.u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk and call 020-8816-7973. On completion of the course, you qualify as both a sports and general mind performance consultant
and receive not one, but two certificates respectively. Call 0208-816-7973 today. Help others improve their sport and personal goals. Visit the website today and check the dates for our upcoming courses or call 0208-816-7973. U2 Mind Body Fitness. The psychology of language, achievement, and change. Hello and welcome back to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where we're speaking to Zara Hohn, who's a GB hurdler. And we've been talking about how Zara overcame her really, really difficult challenges and adversities when she was younger to achieve her goals, which she is still achieving till today. Zara, what time is it?
At the moment, it is 11:30 a.m. in LA.
No, it's not. It's brain drain time.
Brain drain!
Yep, it's brain drain time, folks. And this is the stage of the show where I do a quiz for my guest. And I've got a really easy question for you today, Zara. It's so simple. I know you're going to get it right.
Okay.
and the whole world is listening in to you get it right as well.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's really simple. So what's going to happen, I'm going to give you the question, and I'll give you the options, and then you have a little bit of time to think about it. And no pressure, okay?
Get my
no
pressure. Down.
No pressure. So here is your question for today. Because the show is all about the mind, human body, and the brain, the question today is about the brain itself. So the question is, what part of the brain is associated with visual processing? Is it A?
No.
Wait, you haven't heard the options yet. Something in the back of your mind might just go, oh, yeah, I know this. Okay, so is it A, the parietal lobe, B, the frontal lobe, C, the occipital lobe?
I've never heard of none of them.
I can't say it right. So, here you go. So,
B? I'm going to go for B.
You can go for B. You like to take it.
Yeah. Oh.
You're saying B frontal lobe.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How sure are you on this?
I'm not very. I can't remember the words.
I can't give you half an hour to think about it, sorry.
Oh, no, I need a week.
Zara?
Oh, yes. I think it's the frontal. It's the frontal. The frontal.
I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer. This may be frontal lobe, so you can't take it for
the... I changed at the last minute.
The answer is actually C, occipital lobe, if I'm saying that correctly.
Okay.
Associated with visual processing. There you go. Well, you've learned something new. But any time that comes up in conversation, you're going to know the answer. So, thanks for taking part in the brain drain.
Brain
drain! And you're not the only one that's got that wrong. Don't worry about it. But you've learned something new.
Oh, well. I'm so focused in athletics, I forget everything else.
Exactly. It just shows your focus, where you are right now. You're present. You're in the present.
Yeah. You caught me off guard. I actually do study as well, but I study law. I don't do the body. So,
oh, wow. Cool. If it was the law about the brain. Then
yeah. Next time, cool. I have to talk about law.
All right. So we're talking about overcome adversities, and you told us a fantastic, inspiring story about your own life, your determination and motivation to get into athletics and continue. Where are you today? What stage are you at today? What are you doing?
Well, at the moment, I'm obviously now currently in LA, so I'm actually training at the moment with Lloyd Cowan. I'm not too sure if you know who Lloyd Cowan is, but it's actually Christina Grew's coach and Andy Turner's coach. Yeah, and he's actually training me at this present moment for all the championships ahead, as well as my dad, who's also in putting things, but my dad is not currently out here because he's ill, so I didn't want to put any pressures on him or added stress, I should say, as I know I can be quite stressful at times. But I'm currently training very hard and in preparation for London 2012, so hopefully everything will go well there. And the training, what we're doing at the moment, is really, really hard. I can't explain how hard it is. So, but I'm coping through it, and I'm actually
excellent.
Getting there.
Excellent. So, I mean, what you have to reach the you have to get the A standards. Is that right? Am I right in saying that to achieve the qualification for the Olympics? What do you need to do?
You can get the A or B standard, basically.
Right.
With the UK system, we actually create our own standards, basically. So our standards are a lot faster than any other country's standards. So at the moment, our standard, the A standard, is 1297.
Right.
But the other country's standard is 13 dead. So it's harder, but in the same way, we know that if we get our standards, we will most likely be in the finals of any major championships, which is a good thing, because obviously you go to championships, although it's experience, but you want to go to win as well. So being able, going into the championships, knowing that you're in the time, but it's going to definitely take you to the finals, is a better feeling than going and wondering, well, I hope I'll run well to get a PB to get into the finals, if you understand what I mean.
It gives you that
bit more confidence than what you would have in any of this situation.
Okay. I do have to say, I'm just really amazed and impressed and inspired by you, even by your parents. I have not met your parents, but I think they deserve a round of applause and commendation for the way that they brought you up and the way that they saw your vision and your goals and what you wanted to do, and the way that they backed you and continue to back you and will continue to back you for the future. So I think a big shout and applause needs to go to them as well.
Yeah.
So for yourself, what's next? What have you got coming up when you get back to the UK?
Well, I've sat down with my coach, Mike Cowan, and we've discussed that basically we're going to do quite a lot of competitions to start off with, but our aim is to qualify for the European Championships, which is this year, instead for the Olympics, as if I qualify for the Europeans, then I'm running the times I should be running for the 2012 Olympics. So, but instead of putting the pressure and thinking about the Olympics, we're going to focus on the European Championships.
Right.
Is also before the Olympics. So that's what we've got planned at the moment. We're not really focusing too hard about the Olympics, because it's added pressure and stress, which can actually cause you to tensen up and start actually looking at things which you shouldn't be looking at, and you lose focus and concentration on yourself.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we're just going to be thinking about the European Championships this year, and then we're going to take it from there.
Oh, fantastic. I do have to say, I hope you don't mind me bringing this into the conversation, but I'd just like to say to everyone that's listening how we actually met. Because coincidence is not the right word for it. I actually spoke to you on the phone last year, didn't I?
The
work that I do, etc., with my mental performance consultancy, and we had a short conversation, and that was last year. I don't know when it was last year, but a couple of months ago, I down at the Lee Valley Athletic Center, just drumming up interest in the even more interested in the show, So I was handing out some leaflets and to all the athletes down at the Lee Valley Athletic Center. And the first person I came up to speak to, I walked past a whole load of people and came directly and spoke to a guy and a girl. And the girl was you. And we didn't realize we knew each other until it dawned on me when you told me your name and the event that you do. So that was a very, very... weird.
I was going to say, I had to see if I can't remember.
Oh, well, thanks.
My memory is so bad, though. I get people correcting, going, hi, sorry, you're right. I'm like, yeah, hi. I'm like, oh, you can't remember talking to me. I'm like, nope. I think I walk around blind. I honestly do.
You're already acting like a superstar where you can't remember people's names. You know who they are.
No. I'm just naturally dozing.
it was a strange coincidence, and I'm so glad that I did bump into you face to face anyway, because it gave us an opportunity to get talking about you and getting you on the show as well, because I just thought straight away that it's such a great story that you have, and it can be of an inspiration to others. And on that, if you were speaking to someone right now who was lacking conviction and belief in themselves and their situation, and there was one sentence you could say to them, what would it be? Put you on the spot.
I think I'd just tell them that they need to have a good think of what they want, and whatever it is they want, they just need to fight all the way for it and just believe in themselves. Because if they've got no belief in themselves, then no one else is really going to believe in them.
Wow, that's good. And belief systems are really powerful for the heart. So, thank you for that.
But I just want to also say that I'm actually competing in the books on the 4th of May, and it's also like an Olympic.
So can you say, I'm not sure if everyone caught what you just said. I know in my ear, I didn't catch everything you said. Can you just repeat that?
Oh, I'm competing in the books on the 4th of May. Yeah. And it's an Olympic test run, so if people want to come and watch me, they can buy tickets. It's at the Olympic Stadium.
Oh, okay.
On the 4th of May.
4th of May at the Olympic Stadium. And what time of day is that?
Is it I'm competing on in the morning. And 11 o'clock. So if anyone would like to come and watch me, they can buy tickets, because it's also another good event which actually helps up-and-coming athletes who are at university as well.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. And I will put that out to all my social networks. And this show is listened to many, many people. And people also download the show as well on iTunes and on Blog Talk Radio and from my website. So you can get all those details if you just hook up onto any of my social networks. So thanks for telling us that, and we will certainly keep that in mind and give you support. So how can people find out more about you online? Where can they go to find out more about you?
They can find me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Recently joined Twitter.
Hey.
Also, yeah. I can't say I'm the best at the moment, but I'm getting there.
What's your Twitter name?
My Twitter's at Zara_Hon, H-O-H-N.
Okay.
So if you want to follow my whereabouts and what hard sessions I'm doing and how I'm feeling about my sessions, which is always pleasant, but you can catch that on Twitter. Oh, I do try and keep everybody up to date with my whereabouts and what I'm doing and how I feel. Sometimes it's about athletics, sometimes it's actually about nothing. But at the same time, I'm keeping you informed of what I'm doing and things. So it'd be great if some people can follow me on Twitter and follow my dreams to where I want to be on there.
Well, I know I'm connected to you, and I'm sure others will join us as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so stay on the line just for now, Zara.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming to the show.
And thank you for inviting me.
No problem at all. It's been a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure.
So
you've been listening to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where we spoke to Zara Hons, Great Britain's 100-meter hurdler. Zara has proved that it's possible to overcome the odds and achieve your goals with determination and a strong will. And she is working very hard to get to the London Olympics, and we all wish her the very best in her endeavours. So you can tune in next time to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where we discuss what kind of mindset that we need to achieve our outcomes. So thank you again, Zara, for joining the show.
Thank you. And can I just also say that I've got a Facebook supporters club as well.
Oh, okay. and what's that?
It's the Zara Hahn supporters group.
Brilliant. Excellent. We look forward to joining that as well.
Okay.
Thank you all for joining us and listening into the show. And my name is Chris Thomas. Take care and goodbye.
Okay. Thank you.
Find more details about how you too can become a mind performance coach on u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk. Contact Chris at sportsmind@u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk or call 0208-816-7973 for more information. And why not learn the secrets of the elite mindset in the book, 6 Days to a Champion's Mindset, now available on Amazon. Discover how you too can transform your life and sport in just 6 days. Grab your copy now.
Discover today how you too can become a qualified mind performance consultant. We run courses regularly throughout the whole year. Visit www.u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk and call 020-8816-7973. On completion of the course, you qualify as both a sports and general mind performance consultant and receive not one, but 2 certificates respectively. Call 0208-816-7973 today. Help others improve their sport and personal goals. Visit the website today and check the dates for our upcoming courses or call 020-8816-7973. You too, Mind Body Fitness. The psychology of language, achievement, and change.